since the beginning of Lent, we have been walking together through spiritual disciplines and marks of discipleship. You'll notice some of these leaves that are out and about here. You'll see that on them are scripture and prayer, serving, generosity, worship, Sabbath, community, and witness. And today, to that, we add the spiritual discipline of presence. Now, that's not presence as in presence at Christmas. That's being present. Presence means to exist and to be in a certain place and time. One of the things that we oftentimes forget is that if we are living in the future, we are not being present. Likewise, if we are living in the past, we are not being present. So today we look at the discipline, the struggle of being fully present. There's a misunderstanding in American Christianity today that we can be solitary in the practice of the Christian faith. This is commonly called Lone Ranger Christianity, and it's inconsistent with the biblical witness. In the Old Testament, all were part of God's chosen people, the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the New Testament, Christ began and chartered his church. And I do mean it when I say that it is his church. Christianity must be personal. But in its fullest form, it can never be just private. It's a relationship personally spent with God through study, prayer, and meditation. But this is just the start of our Christian journey. It is not the end of it. Christian life must be lived within community to reach its fullness as Christ intended. Spirituality is blossoming in America. But participation in Christian community in the church is plummeting. Thousands of churches in the U.S. close each year. Most churches in the United States haven't experienced real spiritual growth in many years or perhaps even decades. And amazingly, this news comes as a surprise to congregations, despite watching week by week, month by month, year by year, the long, slow decline. We lament those who have chosen to move on, or those who have left for a variety of reasons. And we mistakenly believe the pathway to new spiritual growth is to convince those who chose to leave to come back. We place blame on the denomination, on brothers and sisters, on pastors, and we try in vain to recapture what we recall as the glory days of our past. We think that by becoming more of what we were in the past will somehow appeal to our neighbors in the present. And we believe that our work is to bring people into the church for our benefit, instead of preparing ourselves as disciples to go into the world to live and love as Christ commands his disciples to do. when pressed to go deeper in discipleship and participate actively in the community of faith through their prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, people come up with a variety of explanations for continued spiritual stagnation or distancing. The Stride Participant Handbook, which we have been going through together as a congregation since the beginning. Harry, would you mind holding that up just a moment, that book? That book that we have been going through together. I just passed that to Harry because he hasn't seen it yet. We have been journeying together in small groups, in personal encounters with this text ever since the beginning of Lent. And today we culminate with this look at presence. The Stride Participant book addresses why people have comments about why they're not engaged more in their Christian journey. And I commend the book to you to read because the details in it are wonderful, but I just want to preview them a moment for you this morning. And if you have gone through this study, you'll recognize these themes because we've been there before. Some say, I'm too busy. The truth is that regardless of how busy we become, we always make time for the things that really matter to us. We're each given the same 24 hours a day. So instead of saying, I'm too busy, let's just be honest and acknowledge the truth that faith development is just not a priority at this time. We hear the church is full of hypocrites. Well, who wants to spend time with a bunch of people who claim to believe something deeply on Sunday and then live completely different lives the rest of the week? Those who are exploring Jesus, who are exploring churches, they're testing the church's waters and they're looking for evidence of hypocrisy. Some say the church just wants to pick my pocket. Well, for some, the church is really all about money. Some people think their hard-earned donation only props up an institution, and they want to tightly control how the institution uses their money. You might be surprised to learn that most who are coming to Christ today ask how their tithes and offerings are being used to truly make a difference in the community and the world. That's what they care about. You may hear, church is irrelevant to my life. Well, what they're saying kind of is that the music wasn't something that I could relate to personally. The Bible wasn't explained or applied in a tangible way that had anything to do with the actual issues that they were dealing with in their lives. Some may say, the church makes me feel guilty. Many see church folk as self-righteous who want to parade around a false sense of perfection and to turn their backs on others who don't live up to their expectations. As a result, imperfect people leave feeling even worse about themselves and their future than when they arrived. You may hear, church or congregants or the pastor doesn't measure up to my standards. Some have very clear expectations of what the church should and should not be, and what the church should and should not do. In fact, their ideals are so high that no church, or congregant, or pastor can possibly meet their standards. Often these ideals stem from bygone times. these folk project their expectations onto others instead of looking deep inside themselves and advancing their own discipleship. From those who hold these high standards, we often hear things like, you know, the worship music isn't enough. What it really means is we don't want the music, whatever it may be, just to elevate our worship. Instead, we want to evaluate things through our lens, a lens of personal likes and dislikes. We may hear, the sermons are too shallow and they don't feed me, or they're too deep and they lose me. I've heard them both. What's going on there is we aren't listening for what God may be saying to us. Instead, we're evaluating what we hear through our own expectations. We may hear that the denomination is too soft on sin or too judgmental. I've heard those both too. And when we hear that, what's going on is we aren't permitting God and the body of Christ to form us as a disciple. Instead, thinking we're already fully formed and demand that the church agree with us. We may hear that the mission programs aren't aggressive enough, or mission programs are all the church ever talks about. What we're really thinking then is we don't feel our primary work should be in the community as representatives of Jesus. Rather, we feel that the church's primary work is serving itself instead. Or we feel that others should be doing that work for us, either hired or volunteer. We hear they're spending way too much on the facility or the staff or the pastor or ministries that I don't support. We think of the money that we give to the church as ours and fail to understand that our tithes and offerings are God's to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The stride book that Harry showed us and that many of us have been using also addresses how enculturated Christ's church has become. The book says, churches have developed a consumer mentality where the church exists solely to bless me by feeding me more and more. More sermons that I like. More Bible studies along the theological lines that I already agree with. More children's programs where I can drop off my kids and expect them to be wowed by creativity and develop there into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ without any effort on my part. All of this in an hour a week. Brothers and sisters, the truth is, each one of us is the church together. The church isn't this gorgeous building. The church isn't a bunch of programs. All of us are the church, and we need each other to be active, or it isn't the church. Not only does the church have something you need, but you have something the church needs to better represent Christ in the community and the world. The church exists for the edification of believers, so that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with each other and beyond the walls. This week, as you take the last chapter in the Stride study, I invite you to discuss the following quote, which you'll find in your book. The body of Christ is called and set apart by God to declare God's love and grace, living beyond ourselves and loving not only one another, but the least, the last, and the lost. The cast outs, the rejects, the imperfect people of each generation who are looking for acceptance, meaning, and purpose. For generation to generation, we are reminded that the church's purpose continues to be kerygma, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ through our choices and our very lives. Liturgia, as we celebrate the communal sacraments of baptism and communion, I challenge you to do that as a Lone Ranger Christian, reminding us that God has called us together and we are responsible with and for each other. Diaconia, service in the world. Christ calls us to lay down our lives just as he did, in service to those on the margins. And koinonia, to live and to spread the kingdom community. Slaves, women, the poor, sick, weak, elderly, infants, widows and orphans, were all drawn in and dignified. In a world that treated them like nobodies, the church accepted them as beloved and equal in God's sight. Unquote. In short, the church is where we live faithfully, where we love deeply, and where we serve sacrificially. The church, by God's grace, is where the spiritually mature nurture the spiritually immature, where the spiritually healthy heal the spiritually unhealthy, where the lovable teach the unlovable how to feel loved, and the acceptable learn to accept the unacceptable. Brothers and sisters, we need the full presence of God in our lives. And we need the full presence of each other to truly be Christ's church in this place and in this time. Amen. Amen.